Are the two? I do. Oh, do I need to use a microphone? If you don't want to. Yeah. It does, yeah, because okay, microphone is the same way.
Thank you. Thanks for asking. Mike. Well,
no longer a mom and pop.
Opening up the diaphragm.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Okay.
It's totally people out of shut anymore. Oh, why do I know? No, it's time. I haven't been here too long. All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
No.
Good morning and welcome to the May 14th, 2026 regular meeting of the Orange County Human Relations Commission. The agenda contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. Public participation is encouraged in person and via Zoom. Public comments will be accepted during the open forum portion of the meeting. If you are attending in person and wish to speak during open forum, please complete a speaker request form and turn it into the clerk prior to the start of open forum. If you are participating via Zoom and would like to speak during open forum, please click the raise hand icon in Zoom or dial *9 when open forum is called. When you are called upon to make your comment, unmute yourself or dial *6. For those calling in, you will be called upon by your telephone number. Please state your name if you wish to identify yourself prior to speaking. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak, and the clerk will run the timer and announce when your time is up. I am officially calling the meeting to order. It's now 11:03, and we do have opening quota reflection was designated to Commissioner Briceño. However, she is not with us this morning. I did instead want to share my own reflection, and I'm going to task her with the next meeting to follow up with that. But I'd like this morning to open with a quote from John Lewis, the late congressman and civil rights icon, who said, "Democracy is not a state, it is an act." And I want to express my appreciation to everyone here this morning for participating in that act by showing up and engaging and speaking and listening and being part of this process. Fighting hate and building understanding requires all of us to make space for different voices, perspectives, and lived experiences, and to continue showing up for one another in the community. I'd also, I'll check with the director, but I'd like to take a moment, if it's okay, to acknowledge that this will be the last meeting of Rabbi Steinberg. He's going to leave us. And while I told him I'm very upset about this, I understand that he has other important work to do. But the loss to this commission after, did you say 14 years, is a loss. His work here is immeasurable. And we truly wish him all the best in his future endeavors. And I really want to personally thank you for your commitment to the cause of understanding and justice in the community, and for always standing strong to listen to diverse voices. We are so grateful for you.
Thank you so much.
And I know that you did want the opportunity to speak. Do you want to do that now?
Sure.
Okay. I'd love to hear from you. Take your time.
Thank you, everybody. Decade and a half is a long time to volunteer, and it has been really a great honor to do so, to work with the county, to work with the district attorney's office, to work with the sheriff's department and local police agencies has been really a great highlight in a lot of ways. And if thank you, Madam Chair, for your kind words, and just to reflect for a few minutes, because I think I am kind of the institutional history here, and then I think Joanne follows me by a few. So just, you know, in reflection, some of the things I think we did over the last 14 years, one thing I'm very proud of is the To Know Better campaign, where after COVID, there was such an upsurge of anti-Asian hate. We got a grant and 111 public and private schools participated in the anti-Asian hate campaign, which is something I think, and there's a webpage that's still out there, shows all the awards. Each school got a $5,000 grant for participating to really push the anti-hate agenda. And that was something I'm very proud of. One of the things we used to do on the commission is really take testimony from groups that were feeling put out or pushed on by police departments, and we would bring people to talk. So one time we brought an undocumented person to speak in front of three police chiefs. And it was so powerful and so meaningful to hear the perspectives, the fear, so forth and so on. The trans community was very upset at one point with the Anaheim Police Department, because if a trans person was walking down the street, they'd often be stopped and accused of prostitution and whatnot. We brought those groups together and found some solution. We would visit different faith communities and try very hard to connect local government with the different faith communities. In 2019, when two mosques were attacked in New Zealand, we had a huge push for fighting Islamophobia in this country. And we stood strong as a commission, and me personally, with our Muslim neighbors, visiting several local mosques just to show our support during that period. This commission stood up strong in the fight for African-American justice, particularly after George Floyd, and in particular Ferguson, which really started the Sheriff's Interfaith Council, which came right out of this commission. Our current work with the DDA's office is really quite remarkable with this grant, and really pleased with the development of how that is going. Our renewed effort to make sure our facts on reporting hate crime and hate incidents really reflect the reality of the moment we're living in. And I just want to thank the CEO's office for taking the commission under their wing. I think that's the exact right place for it. Sadly, of course, over the 14 years, the experience was somewhat marred by the hate I experienced by simply volunteering my time to fight hate. I won't relive those moments here, but when the very commission charged with fighting hate becomes the venue for that hate, something's very wrong with our system. For months at this very table, the hate that was thrown at me, a person of love, we witnessed hate incidents happening in real time, So I'm going to thank the supervisors who quickly realized that the nonprofit that was the contractor for the commission was non-responsive and in fact some way did nothing to prevent it, but rather acquiesced to those players, was a bridge too far for those supervisors. And so the vote was to remove that contract and have it come under the CEO's office. And I would just warn the county and this commission to be very suspect of the anti-hate groups who are selective about the kind of hate they choose to fight. Hate is hate no matter who it is. And there are a number of players in our county and all over the country who claim to be fighting hate. You know, they're the very ones producing much of the hate. I want to, as I said, applaud the Board of Supervisors for bringing the commission in-house. And I feel like we're on a much better trajectory now than we have been for quite some time. Particularly want to thank the district attorney, Todd Spitzer, when he was supervisor, who appointed me to this position originally. Also want to thank Supervisor Wagner, who reappointed me. And even more, I want to thank him for his unwavering support. The man is fearless, and I have tremendous admiration for his leadership and for doing the right thing, even when it wasn't politically expedient or wise. I'll always be grateful to a supervisor for that. And I just want to encourage this commission to be bold. I love Orange County. I love our diversity. I love the good hearts all around. Allow our love to be larger than the haters. Let us continually embrace our diversity as a sign of strength and not of weakness. Let our voices of kindness, humanity, civil discourse, and goodness be louder than the voices who want to tear us down. Be bold and courageous. In my tradition, we call it chazak le'amatz, be bold and courageous. Take risks for goodness, and when we do, we never lose. We may have setbacks, but goodness will always prevail. Last thought is, I really feel like we're living in very tense times. I would love this commission, which I think it is representative now, to be the example of how things can be different, where people from different walks of life can come together to discuss and find solutions. Let this commission be the shining light in a world where there's a lot of darkness because of hate. Let this commission stand against those who seek to destroy. And I think that's a pretty tall mission, but one that this commission and this county can certainly do and do well. So thank you for letting me have a few moments and to share a little wisdom from 14 years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll say we are honored by the charge that you give us ahead, humbled by it, and so grateful for everything that you've done.
Thank you.
Fair comment.
Absolutely.
Rabbi, I just want to personally thank you. First off, on behalf of the Orange County Chiefs and Sheriff Association, I know I speak on behalf of all of us, just how much we appreciate you and the partnership and friendship that you've had with us over the course of many, many years, you know, many different capacities, but especially as part of this commission for the last 14 years, your leadership and your friendship and just being there for us and being a huge supporter of law enforcement and being the voice of reason during some dark times was definitely a huge, huge help for us. And for me personally, obviously I've known you for a long time and everything that you do for me, for our department, for our Irvine community, it goes beyond just a rabbi and a police chief relationship. It's more about the friendship and the care that we have for our very diverse community and the love that you have for everybody that's part of obviously a community that comes together even during the darkest of times and ensuring that we continue to promote peace and you're definitely the tip of the spear for that. So thank you for everything.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm not losing a friend, but I'm losing you at this table. But I just want to say when I first came to the commission, that Rabbi Steinberg was always very open, very welcoming. I could talk with him one-on-one about things. And the leadership has been just invaluable. I appreciate your guidance and your genuine commitment to what we're doing and your genuine commitment to Orange County and erasing hate in our community. And I just appreciate you for that. And thank you so much for all you've done.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, please. We do have a representative from Supervisor Wagner's office.
Absolutely. Let's present the certificate.
It's a surprise.
Rabbi, I am Pat Buttress. I am a field representative for Supervisor Wagner. And after your wonderful kind words about him, he speaks highly of you in this proclamation and thanks you very, very much for your leadership and kind heart on what we all need to remember is being kind to no matter who the person is. We have to care about our neighbors.
Amen.
And I know Supervisor Wagner, I will pass on your kind words to him, but he's saying wonderful things in this proclamation
right.
about your
my
your
mother friend. Will love it.
Yes, you will. And you can keep it on the wall
and
enjoy it and know that we thank you so much for your 14 years of service.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
And again, on behalf of Orange County Supervisor Don Wagner.
Can I indulge you? Would you mind taking a photo of our commission?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
Okay. So
I didn't want to impose, but if you guys want to.
I'm sure they'll indulge.
Yeah, go ahead. You can actually hold that while they take the entire
group.
Should
we do it?
Just flat.
Yeah. Thank you. In front of the flag? Good idea.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll shoot in front of the flag. So.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Thanks.
It's after you.
Thanks.
Maybe I'll get in the middle here. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There. Sorry. One, two, three. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
I will definitely.
It was very definite about the wording that went.
Yeah, I will do that.
Got everything?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great
Take
meeting.
Care.
Thanks, Laura.
Sure.
Getting what's left? Okay. We're going to pull it together. Do any commissioners have any activities that they want to share? No. All right. Well, at this time, members of the public may address the commission on any matter within the jurisdiction of the commission. The commissioner chair may limit the length of time each individual may have to address the commission. Can you remind me how long that time is? 3 minutes. And is somebody running a clock?
One.
Let's go.
We have two. We have one person via Zoom and one person in person.
Let's let our in-person speaker go first Alan for being here.
My name is Alan Wu. I represent the, Bobby represents the Black Chamber of Orange County, but I worked with Bobby on the Stop the Hate project for the last 2 years. But prior to that, we were invited to in 2014 by one of the organizations helped found it, the Orange County Asian Pacific Islander Community Alliance. At City Irvine, where we came together because there it was the start of COVID, and there was a lot of anti-Asian sentiment and very horrific dialogue coming up from our federal leaders. And at that time, District Attorney Todd Spitzer stood up and said, if you bring me the cases, I will prosecute. And here we are today, 12 years later, with a wonderful starting point with this portal, because we need an organized way with those with the authority and the jurisdiction to follow up to do their part. But this plan does a little more. It involves an opportunity for educating the segments of the community and the institution, law enforcement, judicial, community organization, and the education field. And that's where I'm speaking to and addressing today, is that we need this process in order to, when the crime is reported, to have it prosecuted and adjudicated and done with. But in order to get the cases, the community needs to be and have the resources to collect and help people understand the need to report and how to report and how to be witnesses in order so that those incidents go from incidents or are the crimes. And it's easier to address the crime because there's a law adjusted, but the incidents are kind of harder to do when people are mouthing off at their feelings and expressing it. So what I'm also late about is on page 17, District Attorney is also providing classes for our judges so they know how to adjudicate this. So the point I'm trying to make is I'm glad that someone will prosecute and they're committed to doing that. I am also glad that the law enforcement is involved so that when we go to them, they just don't dismiss it. I'm glad we will have a portal in which to address it, and we have an ongoing place where we could continue to discuss, you know, how to make it better. Because what we all want to do is transform society where hate is not acceptable. And to do that, that's a long way to get from you and my feeling, because we're here today to work on it, to getting the whole community and the institutions there, from churches to schools, to law enforcement, to judges, all not accepting it. So that's my message, and I thank you for what you're doing, and we'd like to help you.
Online, we have Eric Nishanian.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, thank you. Hello?
Hello, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. You know, I just want to congratulate you guys. You just normalized a genocide denier. Rabbi Steinberg recently denied the genocide in Gaza, despite deliberative bodies like the United Nations Human Rights Commission acknowledging that it was genocide, and also other organizations like Amnesty International and other NGOs. It's funny and ironic that Abe Foxman also died this month. He's the head of the Anti-Defamation League that has a history of denying the Armenian genocide. Rabbi Steinberg was a member of the Anti-Defamation League, and he's also a member of other American Zionist organizations. And he has been the seat for the Anti-Defamation League this whole time. That organization has denied the Armenian genocide for decades, only until recently, in the last maybe decade, when it got revealed of their conduct, did they change course. You should be ashamed of yourself. I'll give you an example of how blind you have been to hate in Orange County. Don Wagner, who appointed Steinberg in 2017 as the city of Irvine mayor, said that he would no longer recognize Heritage Day, Turkish Heritage Day and Children's Day on April 23rd because the Armenian community had spoken up. This organization never took it upon themselves to bring those two communities together to discuss the issue. The city of Irvine, although it said that it would no longer recognize Children's Day on April 23rd until the stakeholders were brought together by Irvine staff, that never happened either. Because in April of this month, of this year, Mayor Agron again recognized the Orange County Turkish Association, which is engaged in genocide denial in Irvine and displays Ataturk, a genocide committer, freely in schools, parks, and city-sanctioned events in Irvine. He recognized the OCTAA and the Children's Day and Heritage Day, Turkish Heritage Day, on April 23rd. Again, this is 9 years later. Rabbi Steinberg has never said anything about this. He's never said anything about Farah Khan and all the incidents that happened in 2002 and 2003 that resulted in the city pledging land to build a genocide memorial, despite genocide deniers living in Irvine and freely practicing genocide denial in Irvine and instigating all these things with the local government. But no one on this board has ever said anything. Rabbi Steinberg has not said anything. He's worked for a genocide denying organization. And then in January of this month, on his feed for his temple, he engaged in genocide denial, saying that it was taken out of context. Well, to put it in context, you'd have to go back before 1948 to things like 1945, when Jewish mobsters were blowing off bombs in the King David Hotel. So how much context does he want to add to things? He doesn't want context. He wants to spread propaganda and make sure the narrative is controlled by organizations that he's a member of. American Zionist organizations. And he does not deny any of
your
this.
Time is
and
up.
Never has.
Yeah. Now, we don't have any hearing speakers or presentation or action items, so we'll move to information items, number 4 through 8. We are prepared to receive the updated presentation from Orange County District Attorney's Office on DOJ hate crimes grant.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Commissioner, to the Commissioner team and the President. So we have three major updates. I'll start with the portal, which I know the community is excited about. So are we. We have incorporated a full-time designated law clerk who's beside me, Judith Machado, and she will be responsible for managing and overseeing the portal. The portal hasn't approved at the federal grant level. So we're just doing the final details to have it up and running. What we will be doing is collecting from the community incidents and criminal activity regarding hate crimes as they come in. Obviously, if it rises to the level of a hate crime, we're going to channel that to law enforcement and our proper authorities. But the exciting thing about this portal is even if it doesn't rise to the level of a crime and we determine that it's a hate incident, we will be reaching out at the DA's office level to see if they want resources through Waymakers, which is our contracted agency that provides resources to victims of crimes, which is amazing. So if they need counseling or any services that Waymakers can connect them with, we will reach out to them and connect them with Waymakers. So that's amazing. And even though we don't have the portal up and running, we actually have received community contacts already. So we've already kind of begun this process. So we're very excited about that. The other two big updates we want to share is April 20th and 21st. We had our first post-certified training for law enforcement. So we're very excited, took a lot of time and planning. We had about 30 attendees from law enforcement come. So again, this is the first post-certified training that a prosecutor's office in California has provided. So after that two-day training, they received post-certified credits on being post-certified hate trained officers, which is incredible. And we had different discussions about the law, case studies for hate crimes. We did, led by prosecutors, myself included in the office, we did practicum where they learned about testimony, investigations. We had a Waymakers advocate come discuss the personal experience from one of my own cases that I prosecuted, a victim that had experienced hate crimes. So victim witness advocate that was assigned to that case read the victim impact statement that the victim provided about his experience during that case where the defendant was ultimately convicted of a hate crime. We had an impact panel, and I wanna, hopefully I don't mess up anybody's name, but we had quite a lengthy impact panel. And this included time from myself, Senior Assistant Deputy Senior District Attorney Susie Price, myself, and other of my colleagues. We met with various community organizations prior to having this training. So we really wanted to include as many organizations as possible. Our elected DA, Todd Spitzer, that was very important to him that before we hosted this post-training, we get the input and collaboration from all the various community members. We had Groundswell, Orange County Asian and Pacific Islander Community Alliance, Thurgood Marshall Bar Association, the LGBTQ Center, our chief chaplain with OC Sheriff's Department, the Coalition of Hindus of North America, an imam from the Long Beach Islamic Center, the ADL president, president and CEO of Friendly Center, a Sikh community member who also operates the Siva Collective, which is a food bank. So all of those were panelists, one panel. We did learn for some feedback that that might've been a little bit overly optimistic in terms of having everybody on one panel because there was just so much information to go over. So moving forward, we might break it up to maybe two panels because there were so many members with so many great things to say. But we got excellent feedback from our officers. They learned a lot. They really enjoyed hearing the personal experiences from all of our panelists. And moving forward, our goal in the district attorney's office is to continue to be a leader in this space and continue with these trainings in Orange County and eventually move out into possibly other jurisdictions willing to work with us and have those officers trained as well. Very exciting. And then the last piece is the same week. Why I decided to plan everything in 1 week, I don't know, but I decided to go big or go home. So after that 2-day training on that Friday, the 24th, we led 100 attendees for the Orange County Department of Education Hate Crimes and Hate Incidents Education event, which was another incredible event. We had every principal, assistant principals, administrators, board members from all over Orange County come and attend, where I led with co-led with attorneys for the Orange County Department of Education. So it's the three of us. We led about discussions on the educational code sections, penal code sections, where there's any crossover, different types of case laws, applicability to even school issues and incidents that go beyond school, the education piece about if an incident occurs at a school event, social media, what is the jurisdiction issues and how widespread it can be, responsibility on reporting, responsibility on coding sections. So it was very helpful. We also, a couple Orange County Department of Education leaders provided resources for just different ways to help students, help teachers in this area of hate crimes and hate incidents. So we're very excited for that training. And again, we want to continue. They've been an incredible partner for us, Orange County Department of Education. We really enjoyed working together and putting on this great presentation. So we're looking forward to continuing that, maybe moving it forward to other jurisdictions as well. Because this is, unfortunately, we are seeing this start in the school level. And sometimes it is incorrectly coded as bullying or not properly assessed what the underlying motive could possibly be. So we're just trying to get the word out there, the education out there, the resources as much as we possibly can. But that's our basic three big updates. And I look forward to continuing this space. And if anybody has ideas for our office, please reach out to me or to Todd Spitzer or to Susie Price to let us know if you have any ideas about as we move forward, because this is becoming a huge, just a huge thing that we're tackling on, and we're, it's very new in terms of us being a leader in this area. So if anybody has ideas, please let us know. Thank you.
Can you share how many post-hate trained officers do we have now in the county?
It was roughly about 30 people that attended from all over the county, from Orange County specifically. So it was great.
Thank you. Yeah.
I have a couple questions. First of all, thank you for all your hard work on this. The portal, I'm really concerned about hate incidents, hate crimes, seeing whether it goes to police and then to district attorney. That there's a law embedded, right, as this gentleman so eloquently stated. Are we encouraging people to report directly to the DA portal here for hate incidents, or do we still want to go through police departments to do that? What is kind of the best practice that we want to encourage people to do?
That's a great question. I think, I don't necessarily think this is a one size fits all thing, right? Because you have different community members, and when we've been speaking with everybody, every community feels and experiences, while trauma is obviously universal, every community and background experiences hate incidents and hate crimes differently. And everybody's trust towards law enforcement and our office specifically is not universal. So I think in this area, we are just providing yet another option, I believe, to have the community, if they feel that they don't want to go in person to something, they can go through us. And then we're obviously going to track it in the proper channel to law enforcement if it's a crime, and link them up with services if they need to. But some people, they're just going to feel more comfortable, you know, maybe going to their rabbi, going to their pastor, going to a community-based organization. So I don't think our intent with it is to say it's a one-size-fits-all. Gotcha. It's one of many options that people can feel safe to report if they haven't previously felt safe to report an incident. And again, this is very new. Prosecutors, as we know, don't track incidents. State of California only captures for the DOJ reporting crimes. Under the federal grant, we're only tracking crimes. This is a separate thing that we're doing in and of itself to better the community.
Awesome. And my second question is, or suggestion is, I don't know if there's a portion of the grant money that might be used for marketing. And as you just said, let's take Asian crime, African-American hate incidents, Jewish anti-Semitic incidents. I mean, go to the African-American community, the Asian community, and the Jewish community, and just flood us with this information. And then the reporting will, I think, increase. The numbers are larger because these are obviously, you know, well, 0.1% of probably what's out there. That'll increase funding throughout the levels of government and whatnot. Irvine, for example, has a great brochure on how to report hate crime, hate incidents, a local thing that we just keep in our lobby, and we're constantly refreshing it, and people are really using it. And that's a small thing, but I just wonder if we might, if we reapply for a grant, or if there's money in this grant to do some of that outreach, because I think that's going to make a huge difference. If the pastors, the rabbis, the imams talk about it once a month for 3 months, that will really increase it, the numbers, because I don't want to see these numbers larger, but I know it's very underreported, and we need to get just so much more accurate, particularly now that we have a great system in place to really do it universally, not different definitions depending on where you're from.
Right, understood. And I think that's a great point you brought up. We do have the budget for that marketing PR space. And we are, once this portal is going to be completely up and running, we're going to have a QR code that we will be able to provide to folks. And in terms of the community outreach, we actually had a presentation out in the Long Beach area with the Jewish Community Center folks. And so we started with meeting with everybody prior to our post training, and then we've had various community organizations say, can we have a specific training for our particular community? So to have those, we're going to continue to do those as much as we have the manpower to do all that community training. We are doing that. And once we have the portal up and running, we're going to have a QR code to put on brochures.
One last thought, and that is, just using Irvine as the example, they have a great interfaith security council, basically, I guess we call it, run by a sergeant. And I mean, if those people were in contact with you, that person has all the Irvine
great
religious groups. So you wouldn't have to do that. It could be run through that kind of a portal as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I just had a comment. Yeah. So I think one of our public speakers also mentioned, I wrote, community needs resources to report. Right. And I wrote to myself, how do we connect? Because we don't want the burden to be entirely on the community to figure out how to, right? The community that is subject to the hate. So if there is budget for that, I think that's one piece. You know, marketing is one piece, but maybe it is incumbent on this commission, you know, to work with the DA to figure out how institutionally we make those connections. And so I would just ask our staff to look into that and maybe report back to us some ways that we can do that, because we do want to have a robust system in place, but if people don't know and don't feel like they can access it, we're going to miss so much critical information. I ask everybody to put their thinking caps on so we can make this a great success. Thank you so much. I think we have a question from the public. That's okay. Is that fine with me? Do you have a question for
myself or for the commission?
Along that line of the Waymaker, there are healing organizations like the mental health and health organization like HEAL out in the community that they're perfect match for working with them to heal the trauma there. Just wanted to make sure that you connect with them. But I think it's a great idea that if they can't deal with the incident, it's not a crime, that there's another avenue for it. That's why this plan is very comprehensive.
Right, and perfect. Yes, the advocates, so they particularly work with people from various backgrounds, and they do have the ability to link them if there's counseling or anything that they need, like you said, through mental health. That advocate can link them to get mental health services.
And those organizations can bring the community together and you can heal over it. Because they're going to be aware of the incident, but you don't want misinformation to get out there.
Right, right. Yeah.
Ask any other questions, comments? Yes, ma'am.
I have a quick question. Thank you for the work. I'm curious to know if it's predicted by an organization intelligent who deals with multiple branches of they're a centralized place in Orange County.
So I believe that we worked with, through Orange County Sheriff's Department, with somebody, she's affiliated with OCIAC, the chaplain that works with all the various.
Queen.
Yeah. So we've been working with her.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Anything else? Not hearing anything else. Thank you very much. I'm going to move on to number 5, receiving the presentation of the 2024 hate crime report.
Crystal, I am just, I was continued from our last meeting.
Thank you.
Provide a high-level overview of the report, and then, of course, we're all here for any questions.
So the 2024 Orange County Hate Crime Report was released in December, so it's been out for a while on the site, so it's available on the CEO page. There's data and reports tab, and all of our team reports are posted. A couple of key highlights from the report, so just some reminders as well. It only encompasses those hate crimes. So hate crime is hate crime plus the motivated based on biased against a protected characteristic, which would make it that hate crime. It encompasses all those that were reported to the Department of Justice in the year 2024. The good news is that all local law enforcement agencies did report this year, as the prior year we did have some under-reporting happen. So this one, it encompassed everything. In the beginning, we did include this year the California Health Interview Survey. So as mentioned in the last meeting, this survey changed the language to encompass any of the acts of hate, which is hate crime and hate incident. Surveys like that is valuable to know. Generally, those who didn't come forward and reporting things that had happened to them. And we did want to include that in the beginning of this report, that 9.8% of Orange County residents did answer that they had, in the past 12 months, had direct experience of an act of hate. So really putting that into perspective, about 1 in 10 of our residents in 1 year time span has experienced something around the act of hate, which is more, you know, value to what we're trying to do. And then also, besides being able to offer all that support, I think there's going to be value to the portal in the sense of that preventative aspect. So the more that we get in reporting, looking at those trends and patterns, and really trying to help with that prevention of those hate incidents as well. in the work that they're doing. So going on to that hate crimes, what was reported in the past year, on page 5, there were a total of 119 hate crime events reported in 2024. So just a reminder how it is reported to the DOJ is a hate crime event is one thing that occurred, which could have multiple victims and multiple suspects in that hate crime event. So the victims and suspects don't always add up to 119. It could be more or less. In Orange County, that accounts for about 6% of all hate crimes in California that are happening here in our county. And of those 119 hate crime events, there were 12 multiple bias events. So these were multiple things that happened around one of those events that reported. The report also includes hate crime events by jurisdiction. So in the past 5 years for all of our jurisdictions are listed here. And it also includes if there were multi-bias events reported in those jurisdictions. Just a reminder, if a jurisdiction's high, that doesn't necessarily mean that a lot of things are just happening in that area. It just might mean that police agencies such as Irvine are working very closely with their community to ensure that in their communities. Hate crime event details follows that section. So the most serious bias type in Orange County was race, ethnicity, and ancestry, followed by religion. There were slight differences between Orange County and California. So religion was slightly higher, as was the gender non-conforming incidents in Orange County and California. So all those categories and details of those categories are listed on the bottom of that graph, page 9 in the report. Followed by page 10, we did report on the victims. So there were a total of 120 adult victims and 13 juvenile victims that hate crime events. Suspects. There were 72 adult suspects, 24 juvenile suspects identified in the events. And I also wanted to point out that a large fraction, 58% of those suspects are unknown in hate crimes. On page 12, a lot of the hate crimes in Orange County are happening on the highway, road, alley, or street, followed by a resident's home or a driveway. So a lot are occurring on our roads. And then our final section in our hate crime report is the work that the DA's office is doing. So we included a section where it's about the process. So that link between what happens at the police agency and then how it transitions to the district attorney's office. In page 15, talk about the 33 cases that were referred or initiated in 2024 and case outcomes. So I do want to note for this page that they are directly related. So the 33 cases that were initiated in 2024 doesn't necessarily get closed out in 2024. As we know, sometimes those cases are prolonged. So the lastly, we do have all the work that the prosecution has had, a couple of case examples on page 16, followed by all the accomplishments and next steps that we're still aware of. And lastly, we have our conclusion that does remind everyone that we do work with California versus Heath, so there is an avenue currently, though our portal in particular isn't set up currently.
Question. Yes. And the DA's office may be able to chime in, but maybe even if it's anecdotally. How are the cases in terms of the ability to get a conviction for these cases? Do you have any perspective of time before we get? I know there were, I don't know if it was charged as a hate crime, but I know that there were some cases recently that came out of UCI that were resulted in a not guilty or other inconclusive results. And so I'm wondering, when we take it all the way through, are we seeing convictions for the crimes that the DA's office is prosecuting? And if not, how is that reported?
Great question. So I don't have that off the top of my head, but for the state, so the state DOJ form does talk about how many guilty trial verdicts, things of that nature. So we do have to report that at the end of the year to the state for that. I think one thing that we are seeing for hate crimes, we are getting some convictions, but what's happened is because it qualifies under a divertible crime. So those that are lawyers understand what that means, but under the statute, there are certain crimes that qualify. If somebody completes various services or programs, they can have a chance to have their case dismissed. Hate crimes is one of them. So if it's a misdemeanor, we are seeing a lot of cases get diverted as a misdemeanor hate crime. As at a felony level for hate crimes, sometimes it can qualify under a mental health diversion. So if somebody proves that they have a mental health issue, that is a nexus of the crime, and there's some services that can possibly help that, that's possibly going to get the case dismissed as well. So again, hate crimes fall under that. So we are seeing cases get dismissed under the statute for that, but we are seeing some convictions as well, and some pleas where defendants are pleading as well. I don't have the exact numbers, but something that is important for the public to understand is these are divertible crimes, unlike homicide, for example.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I'm a criminal defense attorney, and many of my clients on misdemeanors go through misdemeanor diversion, or the felonies get reduced to misdemeanors, and then they can go through diversion. Is there any... But I know ordinarily I'll see folks who will get like a life skills class or stay out of trouble or some community service. Is there any effort with regard to educating the judicial officers to tailor the diversion to address some of the underlying causes of hate or empathy or any of the skills that can help a person reform so they're less likely to commit a hate crime again?
So that basically comes down to looking at me. This is what I need to do to think outside the box to if this case is going to go to diversion, even over my objection. Will the court take into consideration some of my suggestions on making it specific to what the actual animus is of the case? So there's not... a specific course addressing that. We do have anger management, but again, that's not addressing a specific motive. So it comes down to a lot of creative lawyering and talking to judges about making these considerations. I've done everything from refer people to Museum of Tolerance on anti-Semitic crimes, to writing reflective papers, to pulling material from Southern poverty law, and reading what's happened to the Black community and how those words matter and how harmful that is, writing reflection on that in addition to anger management. And I've seen people, again, work with LGBT centers. So I think it really comes down to trying to figure out what is going to properly address the particular animus in that conduct if it goes to that level of a diversion. I also know the public defender's office has some sort of class, kind of like life skills, but I think there's a little bit more of a diversity inclusiveness component to it. So I think sometimes when it's a public defender case, they have that resource that we discuss as well. So it's a lot of creative lawyering to try to figure out if this case is going to go through diversion, how are we properly addressing it?
I think that's great. And I am sensitive to each case being fact specific, but I challenge us all to try to institutionalize these efforts, meaning that I know, for example, if someone has a DUI, they're going to do 3-month class or a 6-month class or a 9-month class, like being able to create a framework so that when you get promoted and aren't in your seat anymore, your next, you know, deputy DA knows, okay, that's the class that we send to traditionally, so judges know that's the class I expect to see, or that's the, you know, the routine, so that we have it as part of our structure.
Yeah, and I think the only pushback I would have on that when you're talking about DUIs is legislation, right? So we're looking at going all the way. I mean, I'm about it too, Lauren. I'll put on my shoes, you know, but I think we're looking at that level, we might have to go to the state level and say, you know what, this is 3-month classes. This is what the state says about 18-month programs for a multiple DUI offender. Hate crimes is such My clerk was even telling me about the research he's doing. It's so new. The laws are so new on hate crimes. We're just getting a lot of different case law coming out on it. But eventually, I think that the goal is to see some changes moving forward, because we are seeing this impact our community. And I think it does need to come down to have, like you're saying, if this happens, what are we doing on a state level? What kind of program, if we're saying this qualifies for diversion, what is going to be the method like we would do for a DUI case? But I think that that may even be like legislation changes. So,
excellent point.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Any other commissioners have any questions? Well, thank you so much. Interesting. I have one other question, which is, I know I ask this like at every meeting, but are we trying to track the incidents from 2024 still?
So we did have some collaboration with as far as police agencies, there are lower numbers of incidents. A lot of agencies aren't necessarily collecting incidents or numbers of those incidents. So yeah, I'm not quite sure other avenues other reporting.
Well, one of my concerns is that when we look back 10 years from now, we look at a chart, because we're going to have a portal that's going to have all our incidences, and we don't have 2024, a year in which I know there were incidences, that we just have accurate information in the historical record. How do we accomplish that?
Maybe, I'm not sure we'd be able to probably include it in like the trend data, but maybe it's some information on the things we've heard in the community. Maybe we can incorporate some of that looking forward, as just maybe some of those examples or those stories or newspaper articles and things that we could reference to at least highlight, so that people don't think, as you mentioned, that nothing happened in 2024, right? And so we won't, I don't think we'll be able to have the hard data, but maybe some of those stories and anecdotes could help fill a little. It's not the complete gap, I know, but at least.
I remember a discussion, though, that we were going to just have a big footnote that said this was a rebuilding year, and we just don't have that data. That is not to suggest there isn't data. And 2025, 6, 7, 8, we'll then start it up. I mean, I think that's the way. I would actually list hate incidents so that it's prominent, but then just give the explanation there. I mean, because I think we want to capture that this is an issue. It's an issue we're very concerned about because of this particular year, the transition from a contractor to the county.
But how, as a matter of government, is that lodged? Like, you know what I mean? I know we're lodging a report on the hate crimes. How is that lodged? Do I have to ask you to come back and put that into the record?
And we can put it, I mean, in the, we've published the 2024 report. So in the 2025 report, we could make reference to that. Yes. So
I don't know the procedure.
Yeah, that's okay. So we can include, you know, some either disclaimer footnote that explains that process. We could include that in that.
But your worry is if somebody only looks at 2024, but if I hear you correct, your worry is that if you're only looking at 2024 hate crime report, then there's nothing. But if you're looking at it in comparison, you'll see that. Is that right?
Yeah. When do we do the report on 2025?
So that will come out. That will come out this December.
You know, every day is a new day, and I don't know that I hope I'll be here, but I don't know that I'll be here. I hope somebody else will ask.
Yes.
In case I'm not, because that's my concern.
Yeah, you can incorporate a page on the progression. How we kind of progress.
That would be my ask, is that with that report, you include that information so that it's lodged.
Yes, it'll be in the minutes. She drafts the report, so... we will make it happen.
Thank you.
And I will say the California Health Interview Survey Plus, because that's a community-wide survey of information that gives us the best indication of what is actually happening in Orange County, for, you know, reaching out to people in particular within the survey, and it's just one question of many. It does have some other additional information around if they receive support, waymakers after an incident. needed support. They did receive it. So there are some further details around it in their survey, but this year I was happy to hear that they also changed their definition of calling heat incident. So hopefully we can get some trends, you know, moving forward. Last year was the first year they kind of changed the language, but hopefully we'll get some trends as well from that around what's actually going on with what may not be.
Right, because if you're just doing back of the napkin, right? If you're doing 3 million people, 10%, then we should have had 30,000, right? Is that right?
Yes.
I'm not as good at moving the decimal sometimes. So I did a little cheat over here. So, I mean, then we should have seen that. So I think that's something we can track going forward too, is showing you that, because I'm glad that people feel that we have another data point, right, with that.
And 2025, we'll have the information from law enforcement, correct?
For 2025, because it's the 20.
Right, because it was filed that way, right, through law enforcement?
Yeah, that's the goal is for, you know, when we got together about a year ago or so, and how we wanted to kind of shift direction in gathering information. So really encouraging a lot of the other municipalities to collect data on incident reports as well, being able to share it, you know, looking at these numbers are a little bit lighter. I think 2025, you'll probably see a better documentation of what's happening in some of these communities. I would even encourage if we are able to get the data in time to include hate incidents in this report as well. So it's not just focused on hate crimes, but that way you're painting a better picture of what's happening with hate crimes and incidents throughout the county. So,
thank you, Chief.
I think that we can definitely put something in the 2025 report that references and shows the progression. I think one of the beauties of what we're doing now is actually having progress. And it was actually a comment that I made at our last meeting to the district attorney's office, which is really applauding them for being courageous in this space, because what we really have here is not going to be a full year of data until 2027. And so that doesn't mean that now that we have data, that the absence of data means that nothing occurred. Mm-hmm. And with each report, and we put in here in the 2024 report some of the positive steps being made by the district attorney's office. The 2025 report will also indicate some more incidents, but at the end of the day, those incidents are not capturing the reports to community-based organizations, the reports to various different religious entities, and law enforcement. It's still only a fraction of the pie, and even then relies on the individual municipalities and the individual police departments and sheriff's department to be able to actually track and provide that information. And so I think that we can put something in the 2025 report. I think the 2026 data is still going to be half a year's worth because of the, you know, initiation of the portal. And I think that the communication piece that's really vital is not saying that the hate crime has increased, meaning it didn't occur before, but recognizing that we are now making significant progress in collaborating with our different community groups, with our education partners, and making sure that we have a more robust picture of what is actually happening. And more importantly, how they're in those individuals that are being impacted directly by hate and their communities, because you don't necessarily have to be a direct hate incident victim to be impacted by the hate that's occurring in your community. And so what does that mean as far as resources? What does that mean as far as connection to community groups? And I think we're going to start to get that with this. And so to me, the message is very much progress, including the additional hard data points. So I don't know that we'll ever be, we have to include it in the footnote. We have to continue to build upon it, but I don't think we're really going to realize it until we get to the 2027 and then 2028. Now we can actually have a valid apples to apples comparison.
And I think the messaging really for the community needs to be not creating more fear that now these numbers are going up, because what that's going to do is going to actually cause people to not want to report. And that defeats the purpose. We need people to come forward, and we need people not to feel that that now means that, oh my goodness. And I think the Chief Kent's quote in here was actually really necessary, because it's, well, that doesn't mean that Irvine somehow has don't come to Irvine because you're going to become a victim of hate crime. Absolutely not. It actually shows the positive working relationship that the individuals have, that they feel safe to come forward. And the portal is intended to make it safe. And that's why those QR codes are going to the different organizations and community groups. So if people don't want to come to the DA or don't want to come to the Sheriff's Department, they can go to their community group and actually be heard. And that's the key in my, from my perspective. And so I think we can include that, but we have to also recognize that this is a progression and a very positive one. But it real moving the ship is going to take a minute, you know, because we just don't have the resources, and we didn't have the leadership, frankly, of the district attorney's office or any organization to be able to gather properly this data. So I agree with Madam Chair that we do need to include something in there, but I just wanted to be cautious and for the community recognizing what does this look like. Yeah. Thank you.
I appreciate that, because it's not about more, meaning we have more things going on. And, you know, one of the goals initially would be, you know, we take a look at the report, the increase in month of reporting. That's what we want, right? We want the reporting to grow. So it has different goals. So seeing that monthly reporting increase as a goal, we could see, you know, less anonymous reporting would be a goal or a highlight. So, you know, people getting support from waymakers or other resources or being able to follow through on cases. Those should be the goals of the incident reporting versus really helping, you know, saying that's what's happening. I don't think we could ever really theoretically say that. And there's a little bias to it, reporting the portal, right? Directly reflect actually reporting. So I think our work is really just spreading the word and having that use and having people trust the portal and
If we want to see policy changes, if we want to see laws change, we need this data to ask for it, to advocate for it. And without, and that is something the community can know, is that we're effectively, we're all here because we do want to change things, but we can't do that without the information we need to drive that forward. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mayor. We'll receive now the update from the County Executive Office.
The updates today, right? And all of that.
No,
so.
Yeah. Do we have an update from OC Chiefs and Chair?
No significant updates. I do just kind of talk about all this stuff. I do want to talk about a sense of what's happening within our communities. I know in Irvine and in talking to other chiefs, we've definitely seen a lot of anxiety. The anxiety continues to grow within our communities. I think we're in a kind of an unprecedented time with wars, economic issues, political tension, economic issues as well, that's impacting all our residents and our communities. And we've seen pretty significant spike in certain types of behaviors, not necessarily criminal in nature, but, you know, one of the stats that was listed in here, I know this is 2024, but we continue to see a rise is road rage. Road rage is probably one of the more common ones, and where just people snap for the smallest things. Just the fact that someone's not going on a green light, or someone makes a lane change, or whatever it may be, and they do something. You know, they try to run a person off the road. They call them something inappropriate, maybe something racial. We get involved, and you see, I've seen some of these videos of people's behavior. Just like, I don't know what I was thinking. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. So I think it's something for us to be mindful, all of us, including us in law enforcement, that our communities are definitely on edge. There's a lot of things that are happening within our communities and across the country, across the world, that's impacting us here. You look at how diverse Orange County is, you know, where, you know, just Irvine alone, we're representing 100 different countries. So when things happen in different parts of the world, it is impacting our community members here. And I think it's really important for us to just remind ourselves consistently what the purpose of our positions are, whether you're a commissioner on this board or a police chief or a rabbi or whatever it may be, an attorney. It's really important that we're there for our communities to support them, to provide, try to provide that level of comfort to ease some of the tension and anxiety that's out there. And I think it's good to talk about it. We all know this, but it's, I don't know how much we talk about it. It's really important that we continue to talk about it and be mindful and aware of that mental health. Yeah. Mental health behavior, is definitely probably one of our more common calls for service. It's things that we're seeing, and a lot of what's happening on school campuses, college campuses, at work, places of work, places of worship, family gatherings, it's impacting people's lives. So whatever we can do to continue working together and be there for our community, I think it's really important. That's all I have to share.
The OCSC's Interfaith Council.
So there's no update. We're just kind of in planning mode right now. And I sent an email to Gail, community relations person at the sheriff's office, and the sheriff to let them know I was stepping down. And I don't know, Mayor, if you want to be in touch with them to be the reporting officer here for that.
Or maybe we'll talk about other representation.
Yeah, I don't know how that will. I'm staying on that advisory commission, but I just don't know how it'll be reported here because it is an outgrowth of the commission. So we just need to keep that reporting structure in place.
Let's try to figure that out by the next meeting.
Yeah, I send an email to them, so I'll let you know, somebody.
And in the meantime, you can always send it. I'm happy to report on behalf.
Okay.
Send me an update. Whatever. Perfect. Thank you so much. Any announcements from commissioners? We'll lift that. So we'll adjourn. Our next meeting is August 13th, 2026, regular meeting at 11 a.m. Thank you very much.
Thank you.